From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska. This is Dog Works Radio, committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. Dog Works Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
And welcome, everybody. This is Rob Forto, hosting from Dog Works Radio Network in Willow, Alaska, and online. Actually, sitting beside me is the host of Dog Works Radio and Dog Talk Radio, the lead trainer of Alaska Dog Works, Michelle Forto. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going well. You need to let everybody know I am the behind-the-scenes guru here.
You are the behind-the-scenes guru here. We're also going to be simulcasting live on KVUF 89.5 and Natsu Valley Radio, FreePalmer.org. All of our live stream sites can be heard there. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter to search for Dog Works Radio. And all of our archived episodes can be found on iTunes as well as dogworksradio.com. So what's happening?
You know, what's happening in Alaska, it is full out enjoying the beautiful weather, the 70-degree temperatures, the wonderful fishing, and, of course, those ever-annoying mosquitoes.
Those mosquitoes, I hear that they die off the last weekend in July, so I think we're coming up close to that. At least we won't have to wear that DEET anymore.
They're replaced by the flies.
They are replaced by the flies. And you know what's interesting is down in the kennel this morning here at home, it was 89 degrees at 9:30 in the morning. At least that's what the thermometer said. That's pretty hot for here in Alaska, isn't it?
That is really hot.
Can you give us a tip real quick on what we should do for those hot days with your dogs that could possibly stay outside while you're at work and they're roaming around the backyard, hanging out on the deck, et cetera? What should we be doing with those guys if and when we do have to leave them alone when we go to work, school, Fred Meyer's, or whatever?
You know, what you should be doing, and this is for any state, not just Alaska, but you need to provide your dog with an ample area of shade. I would say trimmed grass is better than grass that is allowed to get too long. Longer grass attracts more of the bugs, mosquitoes, and other type of insects that your dog doesn't necessarily need on them. You need to make sure that they have fresh, clean water available to them throughout the day. If you're going to be gone for a long period of time, I would recommend a 5-gallon or larger bucket of water for them to get to, and make sure that they can reach to the bottom of that bucket. A small dog would not be able to get to the bottom of a 5-gallon bucket. You also might want to make sure that you secure that bucket to the side of a fence or a pole so that your Labrador Retriever doesn't make it into a swimming pool.
And one other thing is you should pick up that waste in the backyard. There's a disease that floats around in the summertime called coccidiosis. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Coccidiosis is a disease carried by birds, actually, and even if your dog is not a puppy, which is more typical for puppies to get this disease, puppies get this disease from their mother just because they're around her feces. She gets it from being around her own feces or other dog's feces after and around bird feces. You know, they get it on their pads, they lick their feet, they're sick. That's how the disease is transferred. Older dogs can get it as well, and any dog that has an immunodeficiency of any sort can also get coccidiosis at any age.
And it's not a disease. It is an illness.
I'm sorry.
Or a condition. It would not be something that it had to be treated with a vaccine. It is treated
Unfortunately, it is not treated with a vaccine. That is true.
It's treated with a medication called Flagyl, and you give that orally for several days. Is that right?
Typically, yes. You give it for 6 to 9 days. You also want to pump up the dog's fluids and keep them on the same feeding regimen. What happens with coccidiosis is they get horrible, horrible diarrhea with a combination of mucus. And when the disease, when the illness has really presented itself and is truly in its worst state, the diarrhea will have blood in it. At that point, you should have already noticed that your dog has diarrhea. This is not a 3-day, I'm got a little bug. This is definitely noticeable, has a horrible odor, and should be taken seriously. Get your dog to a vet, because you cannot purchase the coccidia medicine through any sites that I'm aware of without a veterinarian prescription.
And it's a very simple check, just a fecal exam, and your vet can find out relatively quickly and get those dogs back into health without too much trouble. It's a pretty easy medication, doesn't have many side effects. So make
sure. Let me make one or two more points on the coccidiosis. Coccidiosis is deadly, and people need to be aware of that. It is a serious condition. It is highly contagious to other pets, other dogs and puppies in the area. You must make sure that you keep all areas clean and remove that fecal matter as quickly and as exponentially as possible, as well as wash your hands as often as you do touch that puppy, because if you're going to touch another puppy or another dog in your home, you want to make sure that you're not cross-contaminating.
And I believe that's one of the illnesses that can be transmitted to humans as well.
No, it is not.
Oh, I stand corrected. So, okay, so anything else before we move on to our topic?
Unfortunately, I've had to do a lot of research on coccidia in the last couple of months.
All right, so now we're going to talk about our topic today, questions you should ask yourself before you adopt a dog. Of course, there's all sorts of questions a breeder will ask you before you purchase or are placed with one of those dogs, as well as rescues. They typically have questionnaires and home checks and reference checks and background checks and credit card checks and credit checks and everything else before you can adopt a dog through a rescue or a shelter. But there should be questions you should ask yourself above and beyond the regular questions you would hear from a breeder or a rescue. And we're getting this information off of the internet, as we typically do on our lists. And what we'll do is we'll tell what the numbers are, and then we will talk a little bit about them from our experiences. We're getting our information from vetstreet.com, the top 10 questions you should ask yourself before adopting a pet. Number one, what will your life be like 5 or 10 years from now? What do you think about that one, Michelle?
Well, I think that would depend on the age of the pet that you're adopting. And since this is a dog show, let's say, for instance, you're interested in adopting a pet and the dog happens to be 3 years old. Well, 10 years from 3 is 13. Chances are that dog is going to be in some sort of elderly care transition in its life. And are you prepared for that? So I would say that is a good question, but it's awful broad. And, you know, I would back up and say my first question would be, what age group are you looking to adopt a pet from? Some people want to adopt an elderly dog and help it through its end of life.
So with that first one, what will your life be like in 5 to 10 years? Remember, there's going to be major life changes in just about everybody's life in the next 5 to 10 years. You're going to have kids. You're going to move, new jobs, all sorts of things, new spouses, everything that's going to come into contact with you and your family is probably going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years. I don't know how many times in our training career, Michelle, we have heard a client come in and they say that they have a new significant other, boyfriend or girlfriend or otherwise, and they say that he or she just doesn't like the dog, and either he or she goes or the dog goes. What advice can you give to those folks?
Make better human relationship choices. all kidding aside, you know, more and more we're seeing in our daily work here in Alaska that we're having mixed blended families come together, and that not only includes kids, but it includes the pets. And that's where a trainer can come in and help you out. Sometimes it's not an easy situation for your new significant other to walk into, nor is it easy for their pet or your pet to accept the new situation. So in those instances, I would say, don't throw in the towel. Don't say it's me or the dog. Say, which trainer should we hire?
So number two on our list of the top 10 questions you should ask yourself before adopting a pet is, will you be adopting this pet by yourself or with someone else. And the article says that typically the care of the pet is often shared by more than one person, and often they have different views on how it should be done. So if you are adopting the dog with another person, make sure that you have their blessing.
Well, not only their blessing, but maybe sit down and write down the schedules. When you incorporate a dog into your life, scheduling is pretty important because they're kind of needy. They're going to want your attention before you wake up in the morning. They're going to want your attention while you're in the shower. They're going to want your attention throughout the day. They're definitely going to welcome you home, but all of that's going to require your attention and time. So if you're able to split that time up with someone else, that is really awesome, and that makes it a beautiful transition for the dog and the people involved. So sit down and write out a schedule of who's going to do morning chores and who's going to do afternoon chores, and when are you going to do it all together as a group.
And number three on the list is how much time can you dedicate to your pet each day? That kind of goes hand in hand with what you were just saying, Michelle. As we know as trainers, many a problem is developed for a dog that does not get enough interaction or exercise. And, of course, there's all sorts of health problems can occur with that as well. So you need to ask yourself, how much time can you dedicate to these dogs? Are you a person that comes home after work and likes to plop down and watch TV until you fall asleep on the easy chair, or are you a very active person that gets out and about? Are you one that goes clubbing? Do you want to leave little Max there in the crate from 6 a.m. until the wee hours of the morning till you come home and are able to take him or her out for his nightly walk?
Exactly, but not only that, that kind of helps you figure out what type of dog, what age group of dog that you're interested in. Obviously, if you're hitting the nightlife, you don't want to have anything to do with a young dog.
You don't. Number four on the list is, can you afford the animal? I think this is probably one of the most important ones, and I think that is one that is often overlooked. Many people think that, you know, they go out to the pet store, the rescue, the ads in the newspaper, and pick one up from a breeder that, oh, I have all this puppy, and it's Christmas morning, and everything's happening, and everybody's happy. But boy, those bills start racking up starting on day one. It takes approximately $1,500 for the first year of the dog's life, and about $1,000 a month. $1,000 a year thereafter, which equals right around $100 a month. Are you able to afford something like that?
And that's an absolute good point. And, you know, a lot of people go, well, you know, it's about what it costs me to buy a Starbucks a day. And that's about right. It's going to cost you a Starbucks a day to care for a dog.
And how many times how many times are you scurrying into the coin jar looking for that $3 to be able to buy that latte? It's not the same with the dog, is it?
Absolutely not. And that's where a lot of people will make a mistake. They'll start out with the best dog food, you know, the $60 or $70 a bag. They'll buy every toy they see. They'll buy every fancy treat off the shelf. And that's one of the things I say as a trainer, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's think about the long run here. There might be a time when you can't afford that $70 bag of food, and the second you change your dog's food, he's going to end up with some bowel problems.
So with that cost, are you going to have insurance for your pet? Are you going to offer training for your pet, meaning are you going to go to group classes or private classes? Are you going to have a lot of trips planned where your dog will have to be boarded? Are you going to have to build a fence or an enclosure for your dog? Is your dog going to need care for early onset type problems? For example, ear cropping for Dobermans or tail docking for Schnauzers, that sort of thing. All sorts of those things add up very quickly. So make sure you can afford that dog before you get him. Number five,
well,
go ahead.
We want to make sure that everybody understands that getting a dog is worth much more than you're going to spend.
Of course it is. It's the it's the relationship that is what matters. Okay, number five on our list of the top 10 questions you should ask yourself before purchasing a pet or getting a pet, no matter where he's coming from, is, do you have support from others when you're traveling or working late? Do you have a boarding kennel on call? Do you have that friend that can let Max out if you get held over for that meeting with the boss and you're not going to be home till midnight? Do you have that support system that you can rely on at a moment's notice?
And that's a good point. You know, it goes back to one of the Seinfeld rules. Somebody better have the extra key hanging around the apartment just in case you lost yours. Same goes for the dog. You need to have a backup plan. And, you know, on a lot of our podcasts, you guys can listen to about our emergency preparedness type shows. And believe me, we're no, by no means any type of preppers, but some of our emergency preparedness shows will help you guys understand that that's another element to this that I don't believe that this site is covering. But you want to have an emergency plan. You want to have a backup plan. You want to have a, hey, I'm going to have a nightcap at my boyfriend's house plan. And, you know, can my best girl go over and let out Fido?
And, you know, we talked about a boarding kennel or arrangements for your dogs if you have to leave at a moment's notice. I know we have several clients. We just picked up a little dog today. His mom works for the forestry department with the fires, and she has to pick up and leave at a moment's notice to go down to the fire in Washington. And we have several clients in the military that get called up, and they have 12 hours before they have to be on a plane. If you have a little dog around, you got to make sure that he or she has a place to go. Is that right?
That's right. And not all of them are little, are they?
No, Trouble is not little. He is he is our big dog that we take in from time to time. His dad is in the military, and he's left on a couple of occasions where he had to leave at a moment's notice.
Absolutely, and he has that plan in place. Not only does he call us at the moment's notice, he calls a friend of his that lives closer by. She takes care of the dog until we can get to him.
Okay, number six on the list is how much household destruction can you tolerate? Do you have that $4,000 leather Italian leather couch? Do you have?
We have a client that does have a $4,000 leather sectional couch, and he picked up two German Shepherd puppies from the same breeder. They are siblings. They are 9 weeks old right now, and boy, talk about jumping right into becoming pet parents. That's a really good example of what are you prepared to do? How are you prepared to afford it? Will you be excluding the puppies and the eventually dogs from certain areas of your home for their lifetime because of this super exclusive, expensive furniture?
And, of course, many a rental of the carpet cleaner.
Yes, Robert, you would know all about that, wouldn't you?
Yes. So
it seems we're experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties, everybody. Hang on with us.
We are, and we dropped the call there. We're using Skype here at the home studio, so we're going to go back to...
I think we got a little too comfortable on the switchboard.
We did. So we're going to go back to number seven on our list is if you already have a pet, is that animal likely to accept a new housemate? And we said that make sure that is the case. Is that dog or cat or whatever other pets in the house going to be able to accept the new little Max? But also we talked about the puppy or dog being accepting of a new family member, i.e. the baby coming along.
Well, right. And like I was saying, babies or even stepchildren coming for visits and summertime and those types of things, holidays, all of these things play into it. The best advice I can give you is to work with a trainer in those types of scenarios. But if you're working with a shelter, a rescue, or even a breeder, let them know, hey, I've already got a dog or a cat, and I would like that dog or cat to interact with this new dog that I'm interested in. Or, you know, can you give me some history about how this dog will behave around cats, birds, rabbits, turtles, and children? If they can't give you definitive answers, then, you know, sometimes you're going to have to shut your eyes to those big brown eyes and walk away.
So number eight on our list of the top 10 questions you should ask yourself before adopting a new dog is number eight, what do you hope to get out of the relationship? I think this is a very important one on both sides. Are you getting the Siberian Husky because of those beautiful blue eyes and that wolf like look? Are you getting that golden retriever because he's always happy and bouncy? Are you a avid hiker but you want a chihuahua? Are you a agility person and you want that border collie? Most of the time, you can find a breed of dog that suits your lifestyle almost to a T.
You know, and that's right. That's one of the beautiful things about dogs is there is definitely a dog out there for every person and every person's personality. And that's where sometimes as humans, we make a mistake and we choose the wrong dog for us. And that's how most dogs end up back in the shelter is that they were gifts or impulse rescues. And they just don't mesh with our personalities. Take a little bit more time, do a little bit more research, visit more than one shelter, visit more than one rescue, get to know the people, get to know their mindset. You will come to find that adherently, almost all of them have the same ideas and the same goals in mind, but some of them have different ways of getting there, and you won't mesh with some, and then you will mesh with the right one for you.
Number nine on our list is, do you have the time and resources needed for proper training? Obviously, we're dog trainers, and we can attest to how much time this does take. Think about those puppy classes when the dog first comes into your home. Are you able to dedicate that week on a Saturday morning at the group class, that hour a week plus homework? Or is that going to interfere with Johnny or Julie's little soccer games that happen every Saturday? Are you going to be able to take care of your dog's needs as they become juveniles? Are you going to be able to attend private lessons? Are you going to be able to attend some type of sport training for your dogs? We talked about that border collie wanting to have that herding instinct and needing to do agility or fly ball or one of the others. Training takes a considerable amount of time, effort, and commitment, doesn't it?
Absolutely it does. But, you know, a lot of people would disagree with you. I read the books. I watched the videos. I watched YouTube. I can handle it. Then what happens? It's almost like clockwork. Christmas comes. Puppies are bought. Dogs are adopted. By Easter, we are so booked and so full that we're trying to help people find other trainers that have time to deal with some cases that we can't deal with because we're overbooked. You must listen to our advice on this. If anything at all, speak with a trainer first. There are trainers out there that do what is called breed referrals. That's something that I do. I don't care if you call me or not. Find a trainer that does breed referrals. That is where they will call breeders. They will call shelters. They will visit shelters and adoption agencies and things like that to help you decide and find the right dog for you. It is a simple little interview process. What do you like to do? Where do you like to go? What's your daily schedule? You know, so on and so forth. And it'll help you narrow down the right dog for you, but not only the right breed and the right age, but the right temperament. Temperament is a big key, isn't it, Robert?
It sure is. And I can attest, I don't know how many YouTube videos I've watched and how many home improvement books I have on the shelf. If I don't know what I'm doing, I'll call in an expert real quick, won't I?
Yeah, you'll write the check every time.
We will. So number 10 on our list of top 10 things you should ask yourself before you adopt a new dog is, do you have small children? We talked about introducing a new child to the dog or the new dog to the little child. But what about those kids that are already running around, the little toddlers? What should we teach these guys when a new dog comes into the house? And how do we teach them proper pet etiquette?
You know, I have a rule, and it has worked for us and our family for a very long time. No child under the age of 6 years of age should be left alone with a dog ever. In some instances, I would expand that age depending on the maturity of the child, how long they've been around the pet, and what types of rules you've already incorporated with that child and that pet, because both go hand in hand. Not only should the child be taught how to pet the dog correctly, the dog should be taught how to allow the petting to occur. Both should be taught what the term means, leave it.
There you go. So after you have answered all of these questions and you feel very comfortable and it's time to head to that place where you're going to pick out a new dog, make sure that you know a couple of things. Number one, that cute little puppy is going to grow up really relatively quickly. He's not going to have that cute puppy dog face forever. Number two is make sure you're ready. Don't buy it on impulse. As Michelle mentioned a few minutes ago, I don't know how many people call us up in April around Easter time when they have those Christmas puppies that are out of control. And make sure you have everything in line beforehand before bringing home that new little puppy into your home, or adult dog if that is your choosing. Make sure that you are comfortable and you're ready for that commitment. That's going to be anywhere from 5 to 15 years of your life.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, though, when you're researching a puppy or a dog or of any kind, talk to a trainer, talk to a veterinarian as well. Find out what exactly you are up against, what are the costs, especially if you end up adopting a dog that has some illnesses that it's dealing with.
So we're going to run down the questions real quickly here. We're getting our information from vetstreet.com, the top 10 questions you should ask yourself before adopting a pet. Number one, what will your life be like in 5 or even 10 years? Number two, will adopting the pet by yourself or someone else or with someone else? Number three, how much time can you dedicate to your pet each day? Number four, can you afford to own the animal? Number five, do you have support of others if you're working late or traveling? Number six, how much household destruction can you tolerate? Number seven, if you already have a pet, is that animal likely to accept a new housemate? Number eight, what do you hope to get out of the relationship? Number nine, do you have the time and resources needed for proper training? And number 10, do you have small children? Michelle, we have about 30 seconds left. Anything you want to add?
Get out there and try something new with your dog.
There
I have a client learning how to longboard with her husky.
There you go. Dogworksradio.com is where we're at. Make sure you search us on Facebook and Twitter and hit that like button or follow button, and we'll make sure that we keep you up to date of all of our new shows. Until next time, goodbye.